WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Protein degradation can target and destroy cancer-causing proteins right inside the cell. It's how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
For Friday, July 30th, it's The Early Word from the WNYC Newsroom. Hi, I'm Lance Lucky, in for Isaac Davey Aronson, with a look at this morning's top news stories, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC News team. Coming up, Bridget Bergen has some tornado do's and don'ts after a twister hit the Bronx last weekend, and you'll hear the winner of WNYC's Battle of the Boroughs contest. We'll start with the morning's top headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
After months of speculation and nearly 2 years of investigation, a subcommittee of the House Ethics Committee has released charges against Charles Rangel of Harlem. WNYC's Ozzie Pabura has more.
A bipartisan panel will look into Rangel's use of four rent-stabilized apartments, congressional stationery to solicit contributions for a school to be named after him, and his failure to declare as income money he earned from rental property he owns in the Dominican Republic. The 20-term incumbent and decorated Korean War veteran filed a 32-page response to the allegations, saying they're factually wrong, out of context, and amount to an attack on his integrity. In Rangel's Harlem district, voter Norman Joss says he'll continue to support his longtime representative.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for him. Why shouldn't I? Who else I should vote for? They ain't no different. It's the same game. Ain't nothing but a game.
The panel is expected to announce a series of public hearings into the matter. For WNYC, I'm Ozzie Pabura.
A federal judge in Phoenix has been getting threats since her ruling that put key provisions of the state's immigration law on hold. David Gonzalez, the U.S. Marshal for Arizona, says U.S. District Judge Susan Bolton has received thousands of phone calls and emails since her preliminary injunction Wednesday. Gonzalez says some of the messages are positive, but others are, quote, from people venting and who have expressed their displeasure in a perverted way. The Mexican army says one of the top three leaders of Mexico's most powerful drug cartel has been killed in a clash with soldiers. The death of Ignacio Nacho Coronel is the biggest blow yet against the Sinaloa cartel since President Felipe Calderon launched a military offensive against drug traffickers in 2006. The FBI says Coronel was believed to be the forerunner in producing massive amounts of methamphetamine in clandestine laboratories in Mexico, then smuggling it into the U.S. In Washington, a bill that would have provided up to $7.5 billion worth of health care funding for thousands of Ground Zero workers sickened by World Trade Center dust has fallen short of a two-thirds vote it needed in the House. The vote was largely along party lines, with 12 Republicans joining Democrats supporting the measure. Mayor Bloomberg calls the setback an outrage.
People who worked down at 9/11, whose health has fallen apart because they did what America wanted them to do. This is an American problem, and Congress should stand up.
A judge and lawyers have been urging some 10,000 former Ground Zero workers to sign on to a court-supervised settlement that would split $713 million among people who developed respiratory problems and other illnesses after inhaling toxic Trade Center ash. In Albany, lawmakers and Governor Patterson are close to a deal that would give New York's public universities more autonomy, including the ability to raise tuition without legislative approval. Meanwhile, Patterson says he's planning for at least 1,000 layoffs to help deal with the state's fiscal crisis after the employees' unions refused to provide concessions. It's the first time he's put a number on the layoffs he plans to issue before the end of the calendar year. In the city, more teachers have gotten unsatisfactory ratings. About 1,800 received low ratings this past school year, or 2.3%. That's slightly higher than last year. Deputy Schools Chancellor John White attributes the change to a more rigorous review process in which evidence of student learning, such as test scores, plays an important role.
We've tried to enact a culture change that ensures that at every level, at the student level, the teacher level, the principal level, central level, we are using evidence of student learning to make decisions on behalf of kids.
A total of 32 tenured teachers were terminated this year, one more than last year. The city announced a deal with the teachers' union this past spring to speed the disciplinary process for suspended teachers and to close the so-called rubber rooms. but that process is still in the early stages. The New York trustee appointed to recover money jailed financier Bernard Madoff stole from investors is suing three entities. He says that's where more than $30 million in Madoff family money is tucked away. Trustee Irving Picard has accused Madoff family members, including Madoff's sons, of funding lavish lifestyles with close to $200 million stolen from thousands of defrauded investors. And finally, 13 people could do jail time in New Jersey, including two jail guards, for operating a smuggling ring at the Essex County Jail in Newark. The county's prosecutor says two guards, a parole officer, and a special education teacher were among those smuggling drugs, cell phones, and other contraband to inmates. The ringleader, a 9-year veteran jail guard, allegedly earned an extra $1,000 a week in payments from appreciative inmates. Taking a look at today's calendar, President Obama will be in Detroit to tour Chrysler and GM auto plants and talk to workers. The major economic news to be released this morning is the first reading on the gross domestic product for the second quarter. Economists expect the Commerce Department to report that growth slowed in the April to June quarter as consumers bought less, builders pulled back, and cash-hungry state and local governments cut spending. And in Washington, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce hosts a conference to discuss the mounting financial burdens and concerns over underfunded state pension and health benefit plans. Transplants to the metropolitan region from the Midwest might recall doing school tornado drills in their youth, but most others here probably think rarely, if ever, about a tornado striking. Still, it does happen. Earlier this week, the North Riverdale section of the Bronx joined Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, and Westchester County as one of a handful of local areas struck by tornadoes in recent years. WNYC's Bridget Bergen explains what happened and what to do when you hear a tornado warning.
Ted Mishansky was lucky. He lives in the southern part of Riverdale. So when meteorologists say a tornado struck a few blocks away, his home was fine. But the next morning, when he drove around the neighborhood, 254th Street was a mess.
It looked like a bomb had dropped. I mean, there were trees that had been pulled out of the ground that, you know, the trees were sitting in concrete, and they had been pulled out. The concrete was turned over.
The National Weather Service says a tornado touched down along the property of the Hebrew Home for the Aged. That's just west of Palisade Avenue along the east bank of the Hudson River. 7 people were injured. No one died. Just 10 minutes before the storm, the National Weather Service had issued a severe thunderstorm warning. On rare occasions, WNYC interrupts scheduled programming for warnings, specifically tornado warnings, like last Friday when Lance Lucky broke in with this announcement.
That tornado warning is in effect for New York City until 9 o'clock.
The tornadoes that typically occur here occur very quickly. They're short-lived. And you don't get very much advance warning.
That's Gary Conti, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. He was part of a team that toured the North Riverdale section of the Bronx this week.
Eyewitness accounts at this particular facility were that funnel clouds were actually sighted over the Hudson River as the thunderstorm approached.
So when you hear a tornado warning and you're here in the city, what's worth worrying about and what's not?
First thing I think you can be rather certain of is a tornado is not going to blow over a high-rise building.
That's Don Dusenberry, a structural engineer with the firm Simpson, Gumperts, and Hager. He says regardless of what type of building you're in, there is a risk of damage to the facade, especially to windows and things like parapets and overhangs. There's also a significant risk of flying debris. So here's what you can do, according to the city's Office of Emergency Management. First, get inside. Go to a basement or the lowest point of the building that you're in. If there's no shelter available underground, the next best step is to move to an interior space, away from windows or external walls. That could mean a hallway or a bathroom. The city also urges people who are in cars to get out and find shelter. And as a rule, the city advises people to have an emergency kit on hand, with water, non-perishable food, and first aid supplies. Riverdale resident Ted Mishansky says he had supplies on hand, if he actually needed them, but he says there's still a lesson to be learned.
I know the next time that they say there's some serious weather, I'm going to take it a little more seriously because this was an extraordinary experience, but it's certainly a wake-up call.
Of course, this advice might not be needed again for a while.
The last tornado to hit the Bronx was in 1974, and in the rest of the five boroughs, it was in Brooklyn in 2007. For WNYC, I'm Bridget Bergen.
And for more information about how to prepare for a tornado, you can visit our website, wnyc.org. That's why I sing Louisa, Louisa. I'm back on the tequila, tequila. Joe Thompson of Joe Thompson and the Comfortable Catastrophe says he believes in three chords and the truth. Those three chords have clearly served him well. Joe Thompson and the Comfortable Catastrophe are this year's winner of WNYC's The Battle of the Boroughs contest. His Queens-based band won a concert in the green space, and they'll hit the stage tonight at 7. Check it out at wnyc.org/thegreenspace. And you can download this song and more from artists playing in the city at culture.wnyc.org. And one last thing, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, check out a small oil painting now on display at the Museum of Jewish Heritage. But it's not just any small oil painting. Portrait of Wally is a brightly colored work painted by Austrian expressionist Egon Schiele in 1912. It was among more than 100 paintings lent to MoMA for an exhibit in 1997. But when it was discovered to have been stolen from a Jewish art dealer in 1939, then District Attorney Robert Morgenthau stopped the painting from going back to Austria. Now, after 12 years of litigation, you'll have 3 weeks to see Portrait of Wally before it's returned to the Leopold Museum in Vienna and displayed with an acknowledgement that it was stolen by a Nazi agent. The museum will own the work after paying $19 million to the estate of that art dealer, Leah Bondi Geray. She died in 1969. Her grandson, Andre Bondi, said tearfully during the unveiling ceremony that his family was finally vindicated. You can learn more about all the stories you heard here, download more podcasts, and go in depth with our reporters on the news blog. That's all at our website, wnyc.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Make it a great Friday. Good.